You are listening to the Sideline Sass Podcast, Episode 8, the regular season wrap.
Today we are joined by two very special college football guests, Washington Husky MC Wisdom, Seattle-based rapper, and the very infamous Bubba Sparks will Bubba be coming Sparks. On to talk about Georgia football and giving us his opinions on life and whatnot. We also have our very special and only guest host in the house, Jordan Watkins.
Jordan. Six men, call back in. I'm ready to do it.
So let's get it started. Hey everyone, NorCal in the house. Woo-hoo. Emily Van Buskirk here with Kaylee Krish and Jordan Watkins.
Shout out to DeKalb County GA one time.
Welcome to the Sideline Sass Podcast.
If this is your first time listening, then thank you for coming and welcome to the best hour of your life. The Sideline Sass Podcast is produced every 2 weeks for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at audioboom.com.
Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or on iTunes. You can also follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at Sideline Sass with three S's. Or you can go on Facebook if that's more your vibe and throw us a like there.
But please be sure to add us individually on Instagram and Twitter as well. I am at Miss Krish.
I'm at MLM.
I'm at Big75Fella.
Ooh.
And now all those links are in the show notes, so you don't have to write them down.
No, you don't. We got you covered.
We do. Well, why don't we get
Jordan,
sassy?
Jordan, what should we do?
I think it's time to get sassy.
Let's do it.
All right. So for all of you faithful listeners out there of the Sideline Sass Podcast, you may have noticed that we changed up our music this week. We have been blessed to be able to know and work with somebody very special out of Seattle. He is the Seattle MC. His name is Wisdom. He also does the MCing for Washington football. So, and he's joining us right now to get some credit, get some daps for this, and then also talk about his experience. So welcome.
Thank you guys. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Of course.
Thank you for
Jinx.
Making time.
You owe me a drink.
Absolutely.
He bought you one.
She did. Jordan. All right. We'll see you later with some we actually have a Stanford football player with us. He can't hear you because
of Skype.
We don't have a lot of headphone sets, but he is a defensive player. So you would have seen him play. His name's Jordan Watkins. He's guest hosting with us, and he can't hear you, but he can talk to you. So if you have anything you want to say to a Stanford defensive player, you could say it right now.
good season, but Huskies are playing in a better bowl. I'll leave it at that.
He says good season, but Huskies are playing in a better bowl.
No comment. Actually, no, I take that back. Head to head.
Head to head. All right. Head to head. Well, that's fair. Right. That game is the game that screwed the entire Pac-12, though.
That was the game that decided no one in the Pac-12 wanted to go to the playoffs.
Well, they wanted to put Alabama in it anyway.
Oh, yeah. So Nick Saban's behind it all, probably.
The voodoo of Nick Saban. Anyway.
Wiz, why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, if you could give, like, a brief synopsis of your emceeing in Seattle and your music, and we would love that.
Yeah, for sure. So it's always been something, like, I've always been super passionate about music. Hip-hop, obviously, in general, as I was growing up. Super eclectic fan of music in general too, so I really take from a lot of different genres. And I came up in a really good time to be a Seattle MC because I was coming up the same time as, like, you know, Blue Scholars and Grinch, who are really well-known local acts and toured throughout the U.S. And then obviously the one that everybody knows, Macklemore.
Yeah.
Right. Like, oh, who's that?
I knew, like, who the Grinch was, to be fair. I knew who Grinch was, to be fair.
That's all good. No, it's cool. Like, I mean, there's people that, I think the cool thing about Mac blowing up was a lot of people from Seattle got put on the map just because of the fact that Mac recorded with so much of us back in the day that those songs took on a new life once Thrift Shop took off.
So
it's been cool. Still making music, still love it. It's always been a passion. So I'm blessed that I'm able to do it.
Now, what do you exactly do with the Washington Huskies?
So my job with the Washington Huskies is I'm basically the on-field MC. So I do a lot of, like, so like I would say 50% of what I do is reads for sponsorship.
Okay.
So, like,
make
I'm doing
money.
A read for, like, Chevron or, you know, BECU or something like that.
Yeah.
But then a lot of what I do is also interact with the students for the most part in the student section, the dog pack. So, like, contests, if they're wearing gear, you know, just get people hyped. And I kind of do different reads throughout the game, basically starting pregame all the way through the fourth quarter.
That's
and
awesome.
This is year three, and it's been dope. I love it.
Yeah, so you were able to see right the year before Jake Browning came and then up to, or has he been there 3 years now? I can't remember.
Yeah.
No, so my first year was Jake and Miles' freshman year. And the crazy thing is, on the side, I also coach freshman football, high school freshman football.
Nice.
So I coached Miles in high school.
Yeah.
So we both, like, so he was a freshman at UW when I started doing the MC thing. So it was crazy to kind of see him just take off from there.
And you said that they recently came to your playoff game, or they showed up and surprised
right,
the kids?
Right, yeah. Yeah, they did. So we, the high school that I worked at, won the state Washington State Championship 3A title. And Miles brought Jake Browning and freshman running back Ahmed to the game. So they were chilling watching the game, and then they actually went down on the field in the third quarter, and so the players were pretty hype about that. And it was just a cool little atmosphere.
And you guys ended up winning, right?
We did, yeah. We won 38-11. First
awesome.
State title since 95.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Congrats.
Thank you. Yeah, it was cool. It was a fun game.
Yeah.
So, you've been there a couple years now. What would you say is, like, the best game, most exciting game that you've worked at Washington?
You know, I would have to say last year against the Cardinal.
Oh, against Stanford.
Because,
yeah, he can't hear you, but he's
teams,
over here.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm play-by-play.
I know this is like a touchy spot for him, but I'm pretty sure both teams were undefeated. It was the ESPN game. It was the Friday night game. And the Dogs just, like, that was kind of the game that, you know, awoke everyone around the nation to Coach Pete and the Huskies.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
it was
right.
Awesome. It was amazing.
That was a good game. And any game, I got to say this, that Washington is low-key my favorite Pac-12. I guess it's tied with Colorado. I love Folsom Field. It's awesome. The view is cool. It's very pretty. The running of the Buffalo is phenomenal. And I've been on the field for that,
yeah,
which was like...
Yeah, I can only imagine.
Yeah, but Washington is, I would say, up there because it's gorgeous, the new stadium. And then you've got the sailgating, which is like nothing... There's nothing else like that.
That might have been the loudest stadium I've ever played in, too.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It is loud.
What do you think that is about the Washington teams? Because Seattle's known to be...
Those little canopy, like...
They have
the
that,
canopies.
Yeah. Yeah, that just makes
it... Is it the architecture whiz that makes it so loud?
It helps.
I'm sure that's part of it, you know, and then also it's just the fan base in general because, you know, same thing with the Seahawks. Like, you know, that whole Beastquake run with Marshawn a few years back in the playoffs. Seattle fans just love football. I don't know what it is, but they come out and they're loud, and they make the stadium shake for damn sure.
It's the same with Sounders games, too. I went to a Sounders game.
Yeah,
and I was like, this
Sounders
is real.
Get pretty hyped, too. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's real.
That's awesome.
Not like an Earthquakes came out here.
Yeah.
No offense.
No. Now we got to bring those fans to the Mariner games because that's kind of a tough go.
I went to Safeco, and I sat in King Felix's court, which was actually pretty cool. It was the last game of the season.
Awesome.
Yeah,
it's
and
a
it
great
was fun.
Thing.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I have not been there.
No.
No, and
have
I haven't
you been
got,
to Seattle.
No, and
what?
I know I haven't gotten a chance
That's
to
ridiculous.
See a Huskies game. I haven't gone to Seattle. Nothing.
I'm sorry.
I know.
We're talking about things that you know
that
nothing
I know
about.
Nothing about. I only hear from.
Oh
the
man!
I only
list.
Hear
you
about the magic.
It.
I know. I'm ready. Get me out there.
You got to do it.
We're gonna come
yeah,
up.
Yeah, next
We're
year for
up.
Sure. Football game.
Yeah,
yeah
definitely
we
football
definitely
because
have
the
to,
and the press box is really cool where it looks out and stuff. It's It's neat, but
yeah, it's definitely on my bucket list.
Shout out to the Husky basketball team, by the way, because they just beat Kansas.
Oh my gosh. So I have to give a play-by-play right now. Uh-oh. Emily literally just threw her headphones out
First
of her
of all,
ear.
I was recording that.
So, she's mad because she was recording
no way
it.
That happened.
B, you know, I mean, you don't know, but Emily, for everybody out there, is a diehard Kansas fan.
Oh, God, I just threw up a little bit.
So,
the basketball game or whatever.
Uh-huh. I can absolutely... Oh, this is the best moment of my life right now, seeing that happen live.
That was rough.
Great. Thank you, Wiz. Thank you for that.
What was the score?
Absolutely. Sorry, Em. I had to.
What was the score? What?
I think they ended up winning by 9. I think it was like 68-59
or
something.
Well, obviously, Devontae Graham was hurt. Obviously, something happened. Did you watch you didn't
honestly,
watch the game, did
it's
you?
It's not that big a deal because it's like early in the season. Kansas will obviously be there at the end
it's
of the
year.
It's
huge for Emily.
Huskies have a new coach. They're young. It's just an exciting win for the program.
No, it's a huge deal because Washington's not ranked. And these kind of games are come back and bite you later in the Big 12 tournament, later.
They'll be fine. When's the last time Kansas didn't win the Big 12?
Do you know the last time that they won a national title or that they actually made it to a Final Four?
It's Mario Chalmers and D. Rose went back and forth.
That was the game. Mario Chalmers was a man. I don't even want to talk about... They're coming out here to play Stanford in 2 weeks in SAC, and I'm going as a fan. I don't even want to cover it because that's, like, the biggest conflict of interest I could ever think of. And now I don't even want to go because if Washington could beat them, then Stanford could definitely beat them.
Nah, I think that was a wake-up call. I think they'll be fine. I think Kansas will do what they usually do and rip off a bunch of wins here in every single workout for them. I mean, they're a great team, but traditionally they're always, you know, playing well into the tournament, so I wouldn't worry too much about it.
I'm devastated.
She really is devastated.
But I'm still happy.
Yeah.
Well, I understand.
We're glad you're happy.
I'm happy for you, I guess.
Right. Shout out to Huskies basketball.
Yeah.
Shout out Dog Nation.
So, and what you may not have known about this little tete-a-tete we're having with you in the beginning of our show is that you're actually opening for a fellow lyricist.
Yes.
A fellow artist by the name of Bubba Mathis.
AKA
Sparks.
Bubba Sparks.
And he does...
Hey, Bubba Sparks.
There you go. So you are actually the opener. If you want to
put that on your Twitter.
I'm the opening act.
You're the opening act.
It's all good. He's put in a lot of work. So, yeah, absolutely. He's the main attraction.
He's a big Georgia fan. We've been trying to get him on for a while, and he definitely is very vocal about their program and whatnot. And so we wanted to hear his thoughts on the matchup in college football. I mean, if the Washington Huskies had made it and Stanford hadn't beat them, then we would be flip-flopping y'all, and you'd be the main attraction.
But Washington is that team in the Pac-12, I think, that we've been able to see this since last year now. That's the team that could have a shot. Now, once you get into the playoffs, that's a different story, obviously. But, you know, actually getting there, and then Pac-12 just decided this year they didn't want anyone to do anything good. So, is that frustrating?
It is for us. I have a beef with just the NCAA in terms of just their football postseason to me is ridiculous. Like, it was always ridiculous with just the billion bowl games because it was like none of them mattered other than like two.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they finally do the BCS thing, and that was just weird because of all the computer errors. And then they finally do something smart and they do a playoff, but they just pick four teams. And it's like, okay, well then if a team loses once, for a lot of these teams, then they're done. Like, season's over.
Yeah. So I
look at, like, look at the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying they have to have as many teams as the NFL, but even if you just had, like, 8 teams, that way at least, like, November football is important to a lot of these teams as opposed to, like, oh, season's over. It's, like, there's no excitement from the fan base. Like, when the Huskies lost to Stanford, it was like, well, that's the season, and that's just as a fan, that's not fun.
Yeah. No, I get that. We kind of go back and forth on this all the time. I'm a proponent of more than 4 teams. I say 6 or 8. Emily is a diehard only 4 teams, and she believes, you know, that this is the year of why. This is proof of why we should only have 4 because of everything that's happened. Now, I'm kind of right there with you, Wiz. I think. But then again, you do have it coming back this year that no one in the finals is undefeated. So that kind of opens Correct. That wide range of like, all right, well, yes, you think to yourself at the beginning of the season, no one can lose a game. But then you end up in the situation we're in where there's multiple, you know, all the teams have at least lost one. So who knows going forward?
No, I mean, I definitely see, I see both sides. I guess I just kind of look at it like, for example, with the NFL, look at the Giants when they won two Super Bowls with Eli, and both times they won, they were the sixth seed. They were the wild card. They didn't have a single home game. And how exciting is that? Like, you just make it, you win three road games, and then the Super Bowl. Like, that's just, to me, that's way more exciting than if you're, like, a top team all year, and they're almost like we're expected to win. Mm-hmm. I'd rather be like, we're a good team, and I think we can win, but we don't know. And then you just surprise everybody.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I like
it. But I think both works. I think both can work.
So. Yeah, both can definitely work. We saw it this year, you know. I mean, like I said, I definitely thought that the playoff was about having, you know, never being able to lose a game, which is just unrealistic when it comes to football, and now we've seen it this year. So we'll see what they do moving forward. But all right, Wiz. Well, we appreciate so much you being supportive of Sideline Sass, giving us some of your beats to use.
Helping us grow and be cool.
Yeah, get back into the cool world of not just finding random stuff online. So we appreciate that.
I appreciate you guys. And like I said, I've had a chance to listen to a couple of the shows you guys have done, and I'm super impressed. So
awesome.
I'm glad to be a part of one, and I look forward to listening to this one too.
Great. Well, we will come up and get in the studio with you soon and create some sort of crazy rap battle, some dope rap battle to put on the podcast.
Some dope rhymes.
Yes. We'll get you guys in the booth to spit some bars.
Yeah. There we go. Spit bars.
That's
all right.
What I do.
I'm ready. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Another beat there by Wiz. Thanks everyone for listening to that. Thank you, Wiz, for handing that over. Our nice new beats.
He's our hit maker.
Yes. Like
he would be our yin yang twins to Bub Sparks.
Aww.
Shout out.
We need money. anyway, so this is the part of the segment that we do our quick hits. Mm-hmm. So let's jump right into it. I think first off, especially since we have Jordan here, we can talk about these NFL suspensions that have been getting laid out all over the NFL. What are you thinking about this? Which of these do you think is the worst? For everybody listening, we had Gronk get suspended for one game?
Mm-hmm.
For his flagrant hit there, which is just hilarious.
When he flopped on top of him.
When he just flops on top of him. I literally saw
that
tweet.
I do that all the time.
I literally saw the tweet and was just like, what is he even doing? Like,
how does he be part of the play?
I had no idea.
He just is like a puppy, man. He just wants to. He's like, yeah, let me get in there. I don't think it was ill intentioned, right?
No, it definitely. That was.
I mean, maybe not. He was dead. He was partially out of bounds. Gronk hits him, like, maybe, what, a good second
a
after
good
the.
A good 2 seconds after the play is dead. So it's
not. Not like that guy?
I don't think it's necessarily like, oh my gosh, I want to hurt you, so I'm going to do this. But it was just to, like, prove some sort of little point. But it was completely unnecessary.
I'm here.
Like,
it seemed like, from what I hear from the press conferences and things like that, that a lot of it had to do with his frustration from penalties that weren't called on him. Which, I mean, I understand, you know, frustrations from you think you're supposed to get this call or that call. But
so it's usually frustration is when,
right.
Like in any sport, flagrant fouls.
It happens.
You get frustrated. That's when you're retaliating. That's when you're doing the things you're not supposed to.
Like
so.
A.J. Green and Jalen Ramsey the other week.
There you go.
It happens.
Steph Curry throwing his mouth guard all the time.
Oh,
it
gosh.
Happens. Draymond Green kicking people in the nuts. I mean, you get fed up at some point,
right,
and you just got to kick people.
So another one is that Juju Smith-Schuster.
Juju. Juju on the beat.
Juju on the beat. He was on that beat. For sure.
Oh,
so,
man.
And then the last one is George. How do I say
his? George Iloka.
Iloka, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they're laying down the law right now, it seems like. when it rains, it pours, I think, with these suspensions. So what is your thoughts, Jordan?
Well, see, here's the issue with it. And we already talked about it. Gronk's was after the whistle, you know, so that's a whole different thing in itself.
Yeah.
One-game suspension. Mm-hmm. And then you have Juju's and George Iloka's, which are in the heat of a play, and they also had one-game suspensions. Now, George Iloka got his appealed with anyone. But the thing is, now you look at it subjectively, you have a big block, which was Juju's, and then a late hit after play, which is Gronk's. Both have the same amount of time in terms of the suspension.
And I think that's where we look at the NFL and we look at Roger Goodell and think that he doesn't necessarily keep the same consistency when it comes to the amount of suspension per the
the penalty doesn't
the
fit
penalty,
the crime right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. There you go. So it doesn't. It's not fitting, which leads me into the fact that Roger Goodell wants a 2-year extension, $200 million.
Oh,
my favorite
man.
Part. My favorite part of this request is the lifetime access to a private jet.
Yeah.
Lifetime access for him and his family to health insurance. Which, okay, you know. Government gets that, so whatever. But I love the private jet.
And I told you, I'm trying to book a flight to Cancun right now. I would love
to
have
Cancun
this.
Cancun for New Year's?
Oh, no. This is going to be in June. I don't even want to know how much they'd be this close.
How far ahead do you book flights?
Well, for something like this.
Southwest just had a deal on Cancun flights, FYI, so...
All right, well, I'll be going to Southwest.
Shout out to Southwest, because that is who me and Emily take on a regular.
We really do, because we often book flights last minute, or we'll book them, you know, in the 2-week window. But we're on the lookout for those sales that they send those out periodically. We've flown many places.
I used to take Southwest all the time, but they stopped doing direct from SFO to Atlanta. So
yeah, but it wasn't that bad, because I went SFO to Vegas, and then Vegas to Atlanta, and that wasn't bad at all.
It's a nice breakup, too, because that's like a far flight. I like breaking them up.
I sleep regardless.
Yeah, there you go. All right, that's been quick enough. Anyway, moving on. Let's do Carlos Stanton, as everyone will know here, that he is in talks with the San Francisco Giants.
Shout out.
Yeah. So they seem to be the ones that are closest to getting a deal with him.
Right.
I know the Dodgers are still interested in him.
It was Arizona, too. There's a few.
There's a
few
couple,
interested
yeah.
parties.
But it does seem like the Giants have the most hold on him right now.
They have a lot of money. Well, I don't know. The Dodgers
always have a lot
That's
of money.
That's true. But the Giants do have a lot of money, too. And they make good moves.
But do you think this is a good move?
I think that they think it's a good move, because I'll tell you this. So I worked for the Giants for a year, and it was not a World Series year. So it was a very tumultuous time when you don't win a World Series in San Francisco. But I'll tell you this. They're struggling because they haven't now been up to that gold standard lately. Now I think they're making not panic moves, because it's obviously not a panic move, but it's in that direction where you're spending way too much money on a guy because he can hit home runs. Now, I don't know. Didn't he change his name so that he fit in more with the Miami culture?
He went
I heard
back
that's
to
not
his
as
name
re- yeah.
of Giancarlo. Right.
I think that's weird. That weirds me out. So what's he
going to
be?
What is he going to change it in San Francisco?
Know. John.
Just James.
John
James
Stanton.
Would work.
That's a very San Francisco name.
James
Yeah, that is a good one. But I think they need to focus on their pitching. They need to get a couple good guys that are giant players, guys that come in, work hard. You know, the problem is the farm system's drying up. That's where they used to get all these guys, Buster Posey. Mm-hmm. Those guys came up, but there's no farm system to speak of at this point.
And we can talk about where the farm system actually works. The Houston Astros won the World Series this year.
Absolutely.
And they have the best farm system in the league. So I agree. I think they need to be starting in their draft. Okay, we're passing.
We pass on Stanton. We don't. You seem like a nice guy. No, thank you.
Don't count out the Braves. I'm just putting that one in there.
Oh, okay. Do you think he'd hang in ATL?
Well, first off, the way the ball's been flying at SunTrust Park last year, he would be perfect.
Like, as a person.
Anybody can
fit
in
Atlanta. You think he'd get down
there?
I don't know.
Anybody can.
Could you see him in San Francisco? No,
not so much.
Giancarlo, I'm starting your recruiting trip right now to Atlanta. I'll be in touch.
ATL is fire. It's true.
All right, one more quick little topic, too, here on the Ball family. So what do we... Emily wants no part of this. What are we thinking about Father Ball taking the kids out of college and saying, hey, you guys don't need this. I'm going to send you overseas. I saw a quote today that he said, I can coach them better than anything UCLA was doing.
The only thing that I'll say, because, you know, I don't like to talk about how people raise their kids. That's his kids.
Really,
he can
speak ill of anybody. I don't think I've ever heard you say
I try not to.
So
but,
nice.
But the thing I think about is...
It's a good balance for us. No, it's good for us.
It is.
We need it.
But here's the thing I have with it, though. When there's a point of maybe conflict or disagreement, the first thing right now that I've noticed is that, you know, with LiAngelo and LaMelo, they take flight from it.
They bounce, yeah.
In terms of, you
he's
know...
He's teaching them that. Yeah.
With Chino Hills... There's a whole thing of I don't think the coach there wanted LaMelo taking all those shots.
Yeah.
First thing, LaMelo gets pulled
Nobody
out.
Wanted that. I didn't want to see that. I'm watching videos of that. Like, I would if that were my teammate, I would smack that kid. Are you kidding?
But, you know, with that, it's like next thing you know, LaMelo gets pulled out. He's being homeschooled.
Yes.
Now, with LiAngelo, obviously there was a whole issue with China.
Yep.
They got released to China, but UCLA is saying, no, there's still a punishment that needs to be served. Which I think is fair.
Absolutely.
And now that that's happening, no, we're not having that. LiAngelo.
And his
out.
Comment was the fact that they didn't get treated as bad in China as they are now
UCLA.
In UCLA.
Because they could miss the whole season. I'm sorry, but like, where do you think you're going to go that's going to welcome you at this point? Given who you are, given your behavior, how you're not a team player, you make bad decisions. What program's going to welcome you? Like, where do you think you're going to go to avoid that suspension?
And not even on top of that, it's just, I think, in terms of, like, now, there is a circus in terms of when you have, you're involved with the Ball family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Think about this. The Lakers just made basically what people are calling the LeVar rule, where if you're associated with a player, you can't be around media and things like
they're
that.
They're limiting his media. They're working on limiting him completely. Like, he cannot speak at games after games about, I think that's smart. But the fact that that has to be in place, how much longer do you think they're going to put up with it?
Well, as long as they're this deeply invested in Lonzo, they have to.
Yeah.
I mean,
if
think
he doesn't
about,
pan out.
Yeah, but I mean, even with that, it's like you think about how the face of the Lakers, you know, you think about Kobe Bryant, Magic Johnson. Magic talked about how he has all these high expectations for him and things like that. So as long as Magic Johnson's on board with Lonzo and believes
in
Lonzo,
he has to play up to them. And if he... I don't see that being a long – I don't see him.
But
and then,
again,
of course, with that, it's just 30 games.
And also, how often are we this – is a player this under the microscope their first year in?
True.
Not as much. I mean, we've had other players come out, Steph Curry, for example, saying, like, I really hope that people didn't judge me now on, like, my first year.
Look at his numbers.
And stuff like that. So
go to Europe. Good riddance.
Adios. All right.
John Wall also once shot, I think, like 7% from three
for
a whole year.
Don't even start with me about John Wall on Tonight of All Nights.
Next up.
Do you know where he played?
Next up, let's talk about – let's get into some college football since that's kind of, you know, who our guests on have been talking about. First up, the coaching carousel, as we like to call it, where everyone is going. And I understand, I'm just going to throw this out there, I understand that this affects people's families and their jobs and their well-being and all that stuff, but I kind of love this time of year. I love seeing where coaches are going to go and then watching how those programs are affected in the future. So I kind of like this time, but I do understand, like, I mean, families probably don't really like this time at all, but
I think one of the things that we learned from Tony Franklin, the OC who used to be at Cal and is now with Middle Tennessee, he shared
to their bowl game.
Yes. Shout out to them for going to a bowl game. But, he said, you know, these are things that are in works, you know, from day one. So, like, I was just at Texas Tech with talking to some of their coaches. These guys are always looking. So whether or not you're David Shaw and you're saying, I'm here, I'm not looking anywhere else, like, you're always behind the curtain texting.
That might be a different situation.
I don't think it is, though. I think he has a backup plan like everybody else has a backup plan. I mean, every time I run into coaches, whether they're, you know, Sonny Dykes at TCU when I was there, whoever I'm running into, they're always like, hey, have you talked to this person? Oh, yeah, tell them I say hi. Sonny Dykes told me to say hi to some former coaches that I know he's not a fan of, but he's saying, he's playing nice because you don't know where your next job's going to be. Mm-hmm. So everybody could be happy where they are, but they're all looking.
Do you think that there is one coach in particular that was the most surprising?
Willie Taggart.
Yeah.
Gotta be.
That was gonna be where I was going.
I didn't know enough about him, but the fact that he just picked up, but they weren't surprised because they said he always talked about Florida State.
Well, I mean,
endgame, so.
if there's a place that he would go, obviously he has his roots from being the coach of South Florida.
Yeah.
He has a lot of those recruiting ties, things like that. Obviously, that's there. But I think just in terms of, you know, you get to Oregon, and I think for a lot of people, you know, with their ties with Nike,
yeah,
things like that, Oregon could be, right, like a dream situation.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, after a year,
it's like, bye.
Yeah, and then it's not even like they were on the increase. Because,
yes and no. It was hard to tell.
Say they were, because think about how bad the year was before.
Yeah, that's true.
And then, you know, they're at 7-5, which, of course, is not Oregon standards
of
late.
But they did get better. You're
exactly.
Right. You're right. You know what surprised me? Todd Graham being fired.
Mm.
That they beat Arizona.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That was a huge one. They had a big win against.
Was it Washington? They beat somebody.
Washington or Washington State, one of them.
Right.
And then they fire him, and he had a winning season.
Winning season, and gets like, oh, I know that was shocking to me too. I was like, but they just beat Arizona, their rival.
It is very interesting, and this is something I've noticed, especially with a lot of the SEC firings that happened this year. A lot of programs seem like they have higher expectations, at least in-house, than what is actually the real picture.
Mm-hmm.
Stanford sometimes is like that, in the sense that we've gotten used to, fans have gotten used to this Rose Bowl standard. And this year was rough because, you know, there were losses. San Diego State was a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the USC one. And I saw firsthand my dad and the alumni just kind of losing faith fast.
Mm-hmm.
So it's crazy how it can turn on you like that, because the fan perception leaks over into donor perception, which leaks over into an athletic department.
Well, look what happened at Texas A&M.
Yeah,
and how quickly that turned on Sumlin this year.
I feel bad. Graham I feel bad for Graham. Sumlin
that
is
was
higher.
A whole new level.
That's nuts.
And with the Graham thing though too, is yes, it's shocking, but is it shocking if Arizona State was already in talks with Herm Edwards? Do you know what I mean? Like, if they thought that they could get him and they finally had that opportunity, it maybe didn't matter how good Graham did if they thought they could get Herm Edwards.
And they don't tell him that, which sucks,
right.
Probably.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's interesting because it seems like when that whole firing first went down and then Sumlin left, everybody was talking about, though, ooh, Sumlin at ASU, that just seems perfect almost. I don't know the whole story behind his ties, but that just seemed like that was like the hot lead. So
then here, let's put this in a different perspective too. What about the recruits now?
That's
what about
the toughest
one. What about the recruits who said, you know, I believe in you as a coach. Mm-hmm. I am going to put my faith in you and my 4 years of college, my future into you, and then you up and leave.
And they sit there and sell you. The coach sits there on your couch.
Their vision.
You were there. You had them. And
the biggest thing that always irked me, and still does, is when, you know, you have these outside people that say, well, don't commit to the coach. You're committing to the school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which, don't get me wrong, is partially true.
It seems smart.
But who are you building that relationship with? Like, who is the ambassador of the school, the biggest ambassador of the school to you?
Yeah.
Those coaches.
But it also depends on what you put in.
Yes.
So if you're going to say, well, I'm just going to be here to play football, then yeah. But if you're actually looking for an education as a student athlete, then that who you build your relationship with is up to you.
Right.
If you decide to reach out to your advisor and be that proactive student, that's on you. If you just want to play football, then you play football. That's fine.
But the thing is, I know a lot of people they do want to just play football.
That's fine.
And there's nothing against that at all.
That's
what they want to do. But because I remember
I think also though is that when you're out of high school going into college, that is your mentality,
it's
up to you when you're in college. Once you know you're in year three and you're like, oh, I should really get my education too. I think it takes people a little bit of time. But sorry,
having
to interrupt.
Been
no
kicked out of college after 3 years, I would have to say that I wish I could go back to my 17-year-old self and slap her in the face.
Yeah.
Because that...
I'm doing that with my sister right now.
I was a student athlete, and I basically, fell through the cracks of a system that was set up to have us just be athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Even at a school like St. Mary's, which is far from... I mean, it's Division I, but it's not big. But they literally, they did everything for us. They signed up for our classes. They did all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, oh, cool, this is what we're here for.
See, that's what my sister needs, though.
See, you would think, but then it becomes like, we're going to do all this. Oh, but we'll now sign you out of study hall. It's fine.
But now I'm doing it for her. So, anyway.
I'm going to have a hard talk with your sister.
Thank
because
you.
She
needs over
to look
Christmas.
At what happened.
But yeah,
exactly.
It's like a little,
disgrace.
But just a little story for you. I remember when I was being recruited. Mm-hmm. I was meeting with a coach from Florida.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Brian Young. Great guy. He's the D-line coach now with the Falcons, actually.
Oh, wow.
And after we got done meeting, you know, he got that call that, you know, Urban Meyer's out. Yeah, so.
So did he turn around and tell you?
Well, and so the thing is, you don't know.
How transparent were they with you?
He didn't know that it was happening.
Right.
And so at that point, it's not necessarily thinking about, you know, what do we tell recruits with that? Because you don't know, even for them, they didn't know, is he still going to be at Florida when the new coach comes in, or is he going to be somewhere else?
Right, because sometimes they leave or they bring in their whole name.
Are they going to
But do they tell you that? Do they say, hey, this is what, do they keep you informed?
Well, I think we've seen different situations now, right? Like, think about some of the recruits that were talking about Florida State with Jimbo.
Yeah.
And they said they hadn't heard anything weeks, which is, that's crazy.
And it's the same with this Oregon stuff. Is it recruits are saying
there
that,
were
like,
players on Twitter saying, I'm not going to believe it till I hear it from my coach. Mm-hmm. That guy, I forget what it was, but he tweeted it that night.
Is he an Oregon linebacker, I think?
Yeah, he literally tweeted that. I remember because I retweeted it. I was like, oh, this dude knows.
Yeah.
When those rumors are going around, next morning, guy's out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's nuts to me.
Yeah. And then,
crazy.
I mean, I was looking at stuff now.
Sad.
Yeah, and with Jeremy Pruitt, of course, the Alabama coach who's now – apparently he's going to go to Tennessee.
Right.
I was looking at something.
Run.
I know.
Run as far away as you can.
It can't be good for anyone there this next year.
Yeah, but like
they
I was
should just
even,
coach by committee. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I was like looking at tweets and stuff, and they were saying, you know, apparently there are words getting out to the coaches that are on the road for Tennessee now. They're saying, get back. You don't know what's going to happen.
Because he can just bring in. That's what always is crazy, and that's why I reach out to a lot of assistants during this time is because some of them stay, but most of them go. And that's what's so – that's nuts. Like,
absolutely.
I would never – I couldn't be an assistant.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And you're just like, okay, family, let me pick you up and move you.
We're going somewhere else now.
Like, Bloomgren going to Rice, that's – I mean, that's cool because he's going to be a head coach, but that's nuts. He's
especially
got young kids.
And my favorite thing, too, is that they just played them this year in the
obviously,
Sydney
that
Cup.
That was what I'm
so.
Talking about. There's that little – behind the back door, meeting up, texting.
Point.
That's what I'm talking about, though.
Yeah.
That's real.
And that's a perfect way to break off that little quick hit. I think that was good.
That was
Let's
a good
move
one.
Into in the Heisman talk. I mean, obviously, it's this weekend. A little announcement. Emily will be at the Heisman.
Yay.
Woo!
Flying to New York tomorrow.
Yes. So excited. So Emily will go and get us all the scoop. We'll have another podcast ready to go with those interviews.
Make sure you follow our social media channels, though, because that is where I'm going to be posting all the video, Baker Mayfield photos.
Bryce Love.
Bryce Love equations. I'm going to give him a math equation to solve.
Actually, we should come up with some medical things he can look at for us and let us know if we're dying.
I'm going to ask him point blank. I'm going to ask the kid, because I've told you this. You're going to be a doctor. How do you let yourself play with these injuries, knowing what your body's going through as a medical doctor? How? How does that work?
Yeah.
That's a conflict of interest if I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And
I
no
like
one's
it.
Asked him that, and I'm going to ask him that. Not in a mean way.
Oh,
not
and
in
then
a mean way.
That actually brings up
way.
A great thing, too. What we should have fans do is tweet at us what you want to know from these guys.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah, for sure.
So Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield.
Those will be great. And then also Bryce Love. So any questions that you guys want to know from these guys, tweet at us, and we'll definitely ask them at the Heisman this week. So,
but if you want to see the videos, photos, anything, follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram, because I'm not going to put it on mine. Kaylee's not going to put on hers, and Jordan's not getting any on his. You got to go to the show handles to get the content.
At Sideline Sass
with
S's. Three S's. I know you didn't write it down in the beginning of the show, so write it down now.
Yeah.
So, in that note.
Who do you think's going to win the Heisman?
Who do you think's going to win? Because could we see a two-time winner this year? He's ahead. Jackson's ahead of Baker Mayfield right now.
Nobody's ahead of Baker.
In yours and his world.
All right, how about we'll do this.
If we had a world together, it would be amazing.
Since we have three people,
and
I know two of us, obviously, we have our favorites.
Yes.
How about all three of us, let's make a case for one person. if you can do
well,
that.
Well, obviously you're going to do Bryce Love, so.
Oh, yeah. Cause,
okay, go.
So you get Lamar Jackson. Bryce
Love.
Sorry.
Great. All right, so here's my thing for Bryce Love.
Yeah, dude, you got to do it concisely, man.
I will.
Okay.
First, so as ever, if you've been paying attention, you know Bryce is pretty much half of the season on one leg.
Okay.
And
the
with
one
that,
leg wonder.
One-legged wonder. That's
yes,
what
the
we
one-legged
named him.
Wonder. I mean, just like watching them limp off the field to me is unbelievable.
Makes me cry every
time.
He
hates
crazy.
That, though. Does he hate? I mean, I don't know if you talked to him at all, but we were asking Todd Husak the other day. Like, he probably hates people saying, oh, he does more with one leg than that probably would drive. Do you think that probably drives
I mean,
him?
I think, like, of course, like, after hearing something over and over again would get annoying. But at the same time.
Glorifying his injury. That feels to me like if you were a player, wouldn't that annoy you?
I don't think
you?
It glorifies his injury. More so it glorifies, like, his heart and just determination.
Okay.
Because, like, you know, the fact that, like I said, he's been doing most of this on one leg and then still is a top five
Which, as a doctor, is not
back.
Sound.
But he's a top five running back in almost like any Power Five conference stat there is.
He's in the top three in most statistical categories nationally. So
to me, that's unbelievable. And, I mean, of course, if I'm a voter, I can't say, man, I'm just going to vote him in for what he could do on two healthy legs. But
that's hypothetical.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially since most of these voters haven't actually seen him play.
And don't get me started on that. But
that's like could be a whole podcast by itself.
But yeah, that's what I would look at.
All right. Well, I'm just gonna read Baker Mayfield's stat line for you, and then that's all I'm gonna say. 4,340 yards, 41 touchdowns.
Alert Big 12 defenses.
And only 5 interceptions. Let me just tell you, that's the part that gets me the most. Is that you're right. He could throw a lot of yards. He could throw a lot of touchdowns. But he's only given up 5 interceptions. That, to me, is the mark of someone who is dedicated, driven to his craft. He just he just refuses to lose.
Yeah, he's right there with Jalen Hurts in interceptions.
But Emily, do
he's
you
playing
think
in the Rose Bowl? Where's Stanford playing?
Oh wow!
But Emily,
he won their conference. Go ahead.
Do you think that that his actions on the sideline will have anything to do with whether the committee will vote him in?
I think that they should, and it will, but I honestly, this is going to sound terrible, but I think that nationally he's been given a little bit of a pass because he is who he is, and that I think the writers find him charming, and I think they think it's funny. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's been perceived. Yes, he was punished, but now we look at it like, oh, Baker.
Well, I mean, I think if you look in the past with Heisman winners that have had quote-unquote
infractions,
issues,
yes.
There have been a whole lot worse, especially from the Heisman winners than this.
Exactly. I don't think it's a big deal personally. Do I think he should conduct himself with integrity, which is actually one of the tenets of the Heisman that we all forget about. Yes, I think he should have a little bit more integrity, but like we talked about with targeting calls and penalties, they're human. They're kids. We talked about them being kids. They make mistakes. They get upset. I think if you grab your crotch and that's the worst you do, you're not grabbing other women's crotches, then this is...
You're not stealing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? I think if that's the worst you do, yes. But
you're not
but
stealing
they
crab.
Should take it into account. They should.
Yeah.
And I think Lamar Jackson of all... Well, Bryce Love's like a saint. I mean, I've never seen anything bad written about the kid.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know.
Here's the thing to me, though, is that a lot of the Heisman voters are older... white males, I think. I guess I don't really know.
I know one.
I know one Heisman voter, and he is an older white male. But
I know two, and they're both elder white people.
Yeah, so I'm wondering, though,
how much
his actions will have to do with that. I mean, obviously, Johnny Manziel still won, even though he was kind of in that party zone, too.
Cam Newton. Scam Newton.
Exactly. So who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? Now, on the Lamar Jackson argument,
yes.
Which I want to see Baker Mayfield win.
Thank you.
Thank so you. I'm on that, too. Here's the thing. I would more like to see Bryce Love.
I just know
it's not going to happen. So I gave up that hope when Christian didn't win. My heart broke that night. I was listening to the Heisman.
Stanford would have to be perfect.
Yeah.
For him to win. They would have to be perfect.
I was listening to the Heisman with Christian in the car because I was getting ready to cover a high school football game and I didn't want to miss it. I'm sitting in my car listening to it and I have everything in my body said he's going
to
win. He has to win.
I
he was absolutely
lose.
The best.
I was watching
was
him
lose.
So and it was
the saddest thing I've ever seen.
And he's a saint. So, like, to see, you know, to see him there, I thought for sure. And then he didn't win. Yeah. My heart broke.
You
I was crushed.
Seen him, man. He came, he went out, he left the room. In the media, when we cover it, we get to see them before the event. Mm-hmm. So they come out and they talk, and they actually get to make their case a little bit to the media. And there's a lot of voters in the room. And then they leave, okay? So, you know, they're all smiles, they're all nervous, and then they go, then they come back after, and it was, like, different. It was, like, You could tell, I mean, he's such a good kid, but I think he really started to think he had a chance, like a lot of people. And, you know, his dad and mom were there, his brothers. That was one of the toughest.
Yeah.
That was tough.
I wasn't happy. So now my thought is that, like, I can't invest in a Pac-12 candidate winning the Heisman because I just don't see it. Like you said, unless it's an undefeated team who is in the playoffs, then maybe, but it's just not going to happen. But my argument here for Lamar Jackson is the fact that he's probably the only person who has won a Heisman and actually gotten better the next season.
That's have improved.
That's true. That's a good
argument. So he is actually the first player in NCAA history to pass for 3,000 yards and rush for 1,000 yards in back-to-back seasons.
I mean, he's a baller.
Let me just say that again. Passes for over 3,000 and rushes for 1,000 yards in back-to-back seasons. Like, that's nuts. So I think stat-wise, it would be great to see somebody who really has improved themselves. My only question with him is the fact that, you know, we thought he was a candidate early on in the football season, the college football season, and then Louisville just kind of fell off for a while. And then all of a sudden he came back into the picture because of his stats. So I think that his stat, if you just look at stat lines, then he probably should be the winner. And I'm just putting in the fact that I just really like Baker Mayfield.
All right.
So there's those
Heisman
three.
Heisman will be what it'll be. Mm-hmm. Follow us for the feed.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck to all the candidates. Honestly, they're all
absolutely.
I like them all. I can't say this is a year where I can't be like, oh, I hate that guy.
Oh, I hate that guy. Yeah, no,
I like
me
these
either.
Kids. So
and then
it's going
to
be hard.
Also, just special shout out to, obviously, Kerryon Johnson.
Yeah.
Even though he's not a finalist.
Agreed.
He easily could be there. Mm-hmm. And then also, because he's at a smaller school, definitely doesn't get the publicity. But Penny from San Diego State.
Okay, I was going to say Rashad Penny.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mackenzie Milton, UCF's quarterback, should have been. His numbers were right under Baker's. So it sucks because it's the same thing, small school.
Right.
He's not going to get the. But I like Mackenzie Milton. I like Rashad Penny. Mm-hmm. Rashad's a good dude on Twitter. Do you follow him?
I don't.
He's a good follow. He's hilarious. Today he tweeted about the Polar Express. And I hate Christmas. I'll just tell you this.
Oh, my gosh.
Christmas is not a good time for me.
She's the Grinch.
Yeah. And he tweeted that the best Christmas movie was the Polar Express. And I actually, like, melted my heart.
Probably because
it came
out.
Because I have a Polar Express.
Okay. When he was, like, young. Like,
well, it came out when I was young.
No, that came out, like, when we were older.
No, but, like, the old version, I have the book.
Oh, okay.
And I have a bell that comes with the book.
Wow.
And every year, this is, like, nobody knows this, but I have it, and I put it on our Christmas tree, and it's my only Christmassy thing I do. So when he tweeted that day, I was like,
Good dude. All right. Well, this will take us into our next interview, but let's talk a little bit quickly because everybody knows our feelings already, but of the college football playoffs and whether or not Alabama deserves to be in the four. Jordan, I know you have a lot of feelings.
Oh, man.
A lot of feelings about this. Too many feels, but go ahead.
So I know one thing that you talked about earlier is how the committee voted it increases the importance of regular season games.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually going to disagree with that, and I'll tell you why. So first and foremost, I know a lot of people always try to put this importance on scheduling.
Mm-hmm.
First off, you know, these tougher out-of-conference games. You know, Alabama and Florida State was supposed to be, like, the biggest matchup ever. Fortunately, Francois got hurt.
Yeah.
But,
You can't predict that kind of stuff.
Right,
it happens.
You can't. But you can predict how Mercer will be or Monroe will be.
But why are you going to hate on a player for trying to get some wins and have an undefeated season? Like,
well,
everyone
wants
to hate on that, but
and I mean, that's,
they play in the SEC.
They do.
How many hard games do you want them to play?
Well, this year. This year, a couple more.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, you think about one of the biggest matchups every year in the regular season is the Iron Bowl.
Yeah.
Auburn won the Iron Bowl.
Yep.
yet they're the team that's not going to
decisively
the
won.
Yes,
the Iron Bowl.
But
beat
they're the team
two
that's not
number one teams
because
within 2 weeks.
Because they couldn't put it together the earlier part of the season.
Well,
just
I mean,
because you beat Alabama and Georgia, you can't hang your hat on just that. You got to do other things.
But name another team that can say that they've beaten two teams in the college football playoff. And played a third.
I cannot say that I can name one.
And played a third. Yeah. So I
but
think
it can't be judged by that because that's too, it's too linear. It's too narrow of a scope.
I get what you're
saying, but it's like you can't hold that mirror up to every.
I get that. I'm just saying for overall standpoint of the increased importance of regular season games.
Yeah.
If you have the winner of arguably one of the biggest games in the regular season,
and they're not even
in it, but the loser's in there. That kind of decreases it.
Yeah.
And then also just the standpoint of the committee's got to be either you be straight up honest with people or you don't speak on things. And
they have not figured that out.
They have not. Because what was one thing that talked about is there's really not that big of a gap between number five and number eight.
Five through nine or something like that. Yeah.
Five being Alabama. Yeah. And then I think Ohio State was eight, right?
Yeah.
So you have Ohio State that came out first and arguably one of the top two toughest divisions of college football, and then beat an undefeated Wisconsin team to win the conference.
Who we have our reservations about, too, because of scheduling, because of weaker conference.
Yes.
So how big is that win, really? It was dominating, sure, but how many points did they score in that second half? But Wisconsin outscored them in that second half.
Well, I tell you what, Ohio State scored more points than a team that was sitting there chilling and is still in the college football playoff.
That's fair. Mm-hmm.
So
I just don't know how it's like hard to weigh all this stuff. It is. I couldn't be on the committee. I don't think I could do it.
Oh, I definitely could.
Kaylee's commissioner.
I'm the commish.
But it's like how you're making all these good points, and it's like, but how do you then create a scale? There's no one size fits all.
I do agree with that.
Like,
I think it's just that's why I'm saying in this case, look, if you're gonna say one thing,
you gotta stick to it.
You gotta either stick to it or just don't put stuff out there and then just say like here are the rankings.
Well,
and this
is it. Then that would make a case for why Alabama's there, that they are sticking to things, because many people said that Ohio State didn't belong there last year.
Yeah.
And
of
they
course.
Were there. So if people are saying now this year that Alabama doesn't belong there and they're
there.
We
should call it the Alabama clause. And it's the asterisk at the bottom.
I think
like
it's,
if
I think
they
it's
have a, any potential to be there, they will be there. And it's
or
Nick
if
Saban.
If you're Alabama, you'll be there.
Yeah. If you're Alabama and it's Nick Saban.
Like all of these things apply except if you're Alabama. That's the asterisk at the bottom that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, and
so
also.
So are we surprised
that,
they're there? No.
No.
But they shouldn't be there, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I think, you know what, to be honest, when I saw that Alabama was five after they lost the Iron Bowl.
Yeah.
And I was even talking to some other friends about this. I think Fresno State was ranked, I believe, right?
They were, like, barely ranked.
They were,
like, 25th for, like, a minute.
They're going to the Hawaii Bowl, so
yeah,
it's a win-win.
The thing I'm putting with that is.
That's, like, a gnarly trip.
You know, you had, you know, they were, like, Fresno State was ranked.
They were.
And I'm not taking anything away from Fresno State, but Alabama did play them. So it looks good. That's another ranked win that Alabama could put on there.
And there's the conspiracy theory they put them in there.
You can say the committee set it
up. I read that.
Because, I mean, Alabama's sitting there at five.
How good was Jeff Tedford's team? That's the question. I don't know. I never watched one Fresno State game.
Right. All I would know is, one, they played Alabama. Two, this is one of, like, especially compared to last year, from Fresno State last year to this year, is leaps and bounds. Different.
They've put them on the map.
Absolutely. So,
but how good are they? And this is again the question of scale.
Well, and that
just can't do it.
Exactly.
We're not going to solve it.
No, we're not. And
not
talking on this
it.
Podcast is definitely not going to get us anywhere, except
you know who
in our hearts.
You know who can give us answers though?
Bubba Sparks.
I think Bubba Sparks.
Bubba Sparks is definitely going to come on and weigh in on this.
He's going to leave his Georgia bias on the train tracks.
Which you will hear. but next up, we have the one, the only, my middle school life.
Yes.
This is my college life.
Yeah. My middle school
life. And this
has been
my life longer. So I just need to express to everyone on this podcast that this is a, like, momentous.
A dream.
Occasion. I can't believe it, but we got him and he's coming on to talk.
So I'm happy too. Good to have another Georgia fellow
and
on
for
here.
You it's a big deal. Yeah,
exactly.
It's a big deal for all of us.
There you go.
All right, fans. Up next, Bubba Sparks.
I've been traveling for some time. With my fishing pole and my bottle shine. On these long dark days,
so much for joining us. We have with us now, he's a lyrical genius. He is a mix master.
You think he's a cool genius?
A lyrical genius.
Oh, lyrical genius.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, just stop me if I'm getting too much, but Bubba Mathis, Bubba Sparks.
Who are you introducing?
Yeah. I am.
I thought you were introducing somebody else on the show. Okay, yeah, I'm a lyrical genius, yeah.
Yeah, yep. There you go. I was going to quote, like, some lyrics from Ghost, but I figured that'd be too, it's getting too real if I do that. So. That's, like, my favorite song,
You like that song?
I love that song.
I like it, too. I actually, that's a whole another discussion for a singular podcast,
yes.
Probably just my view on that song and things. But,
well, I love it.
So. Yeah, thank you.
Of course.
What lyrics do you want to quote?
I like the part, well, I'm not going to get into this too much because this is going to make me sound like I'm fangirling out, but I am a little bit because I have all your records and I listen to all your songs. And but that one in particular, when you talk about you have to move on from circumstances. You can't go back, you know what I mean? And put together the pieces. You just got to let them lay and move forward. Everyone can identify with that in their life. Yeah. So.
Well, it reached a point for me, just to kind of summarize what that meant to me, I always felt like I was trying to get back to something. You know what I'm saying? Like, I gotta get back. And then I realized, like, if I got back that type of celebrity success, whatever you want to call it, it's not going to be the same because I'm a different person now, first of all.
Yeah.
But it's just not going to be the same. It's never going to look the same. First of all, nothing that you ever accomplish is going to look and feel the same when you get there anyway.
Yeah.
But then when I started thinking about trying to come, and the whole comeback mentality, and it wasn't the point where I was like, you know what, the hell with that. I just need to embrace who I am today and what I'm about and what I'm doing.
Well, we're glad glad personally that you've evolved this way because I love your music now. I loved it before, but I hate when people are like, oh yeah, Bubba Sparks, Miss New Booty. That drives me nuts because your stuff now is so multidimensional and deep. And
it was my fault. It was my fault that I put myself in a position to be typecast and such, but at the same time, yeah, it's frustrating.
You got to do you at the time.
The people that are supposed to know are supposed to know.
Yeah. Well, speaking of moving forward and changing, how about the Georgia football team this year? Has that been so much fun?
If you heard a funny sound, like a gasp last weekend, it was like Bulldog Nation collectively like breathing a sigh of relief almost. But I know for me, I was really, really overcome with emotion because it's been a long, long ride for the University of Georgia, for Georgia fans and for everybody with this whole, because we've had the potential to be, you know, really second to none in college football for a long time. And for whatever reason, it just wasn't happening. And I think that when Kirby Smart got the job, I think a lot of people thought he was probably the guy that could make it happen. But I just say that in year two, we win the SEC and be in the playoff. I think that's just past anybody's expectations.
Well, it's funny because we were at the Georgia Tech game, two weekends ago.
Yeah.
And that was our first time kind of seeing Kirby Smart up close.
Mm-hmm.
We got to listen to his post-game press conference. Was illuminating because he talked about SEC football is the only good football. Okay.
Yeah. Emily was rolling her eyes at that, but I mean, they have the championships to prove it.
At that point, was jockeying for. Yeah. He was jockeying for like to the playoffs.
He was trying to get in the playoffs. So that makes sense.
Not true.
Yeah.
That makes sense, but it's definitely a different kind of football, Kaylee.
It definitely is. Yeah, the biggest thing I noticed was, you know, the last couple years covering Stanford very closely, we've seen Christian McCaffrey and Bryce Love and Stanford really pushing that run game, but there is nothing like Georgia Tech run
game. Sony Michelle and Nick Chubb are amazing.
Amazing. But just the fact
that's true.
Uh-huh. Yeah. The fact that you can.
Five.
Yeah. He said five.
Five.
Okay. All right.
The fact that I think the entire game we saw 14 passes on both sides, like total 14 passes. Like that's, you know, we're used to a lot of
Pac-12,
passing and Pac-12 West Coast style football. So.
Well, that's a unique game anyway, because you know with Georgia Tech running the triple option, that's obviously what their forte is, but. With us, I think it's more of an issue if we just realize that in most positions we're better than Tech,
So let's just line up and go at them. Let's not try to create a mystery. Let's try to be better than them in the places where we're better than them. And we should win every game we ever play against Tech based on that logic. But with Paul Johnson, they have the perfect scheme in place for Georgia Tech to be successful, I believe.
Yeah.
And they're always going to be a thorn in people's side. Because if your head's not on a swivel and you're not prepared for that triple option that week you play them, they're going to make you look foolish.
Yeah. That was amazing to see. You know, that's probably the first time we've ever seen that.
I saw
in
it
real
once
life.
When I covered Navy or Army. They do a lot of the triple option, but
but it's definitely you never know.
People that typically, and this is not me. This is not a slight at Tech because of their academic requirement. You know, it's they're somewhat limited. I mean, it's really kind of an excuse because still being able to recruit to the city of Atlanta is a marvelous asset. But you know, they kind of for the most part just don't have the same type of guys everywhere that. You know, the Florida States and the Miamis are going to have. So they kind of, that's why that system's kind of perfect for them.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean.
And that's why it's perfect.
We have a guy here who.
Military Academy.
Yeah, well, and that's a perfect transition over to Jordan here because, you know, he knows exactly what it's like to get recruits for a school that has such a high academic standard. So he can attest to, you know, you're maybe not always getting the number one guy because their grades are not. You know.
Yeah, I mean,
but Stanford does a great job. They do a great job.
Yeah, they do.
Recruiting.
Oh, yeah, especially as of late. And, I mean, I think when you have programs like that, the biggest thing for you then is obviously you can't just look regionally. You know, you have to look nationally. And I know especially you know, look at, like, Stanford, Notre Dame, you know, schools like that. You see, you know, like I know we have a lot of guys from Texas, Florida. Of course, I'm from Georgia.
Right.
Just all over.
You're one of the only ones from Georgia, though, that was on Stanford, right?
We had a.
And it seems, you know, every time that Stanford comes into Georgia, it seems like it stings when they get somebody too. You know what I mean? Like it's, that's the thing about it. So.
Oh yeah, I remember people weren't happy when I left.
What year was that? Because now that you say that, I remember you were a lineman. I remember
right,
that.
Yes.
What year was that?
I finished in 2012 at Woodward.
Yeah.
He's a young
I remember
one.
You, yep. Yeah. Traitor.
Young
traitor.
He's a traitor. Nice. That's perfect.
You know, but you know what I say about that, though, Jordan? I say this to any kid, even when the kid went to Cal, the receiver, what was his name just a couple years ago that we were pursuing pretty heavily?
Oh, yeah, from
five-star.
From Savannah, right?
Yeah, you know what? If you're enriched to that point and you want to continue to broaden yourself and you want to have that type of college experience, I salute you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather you go to Stanford than Auburn.
Yeah, we don't want any Auburn guys here. That's awesome.
You know, we're not going to have to play them.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then, of course, being able to see a whole different part of the country, you know. I know a lot of people that haven't been – through like college and even now a lot of my friends, you know, they really haven't seen much outside of Georgia where, you know, I've been down in California, obviously, but Washington, all those different things, you know, it's obviously you get a chance to explore and see different things. You got to take advantage of it.
Man, God bless you. I mean, it, to be able to make that type of move, I remember I went to Tusculum College, a little school mm-hmm. in Greenville, Tennessee, about 4.5 hours north of where I grew up in LaGrange.
Mm-hmm.
And that felt like I was driving to the equator. You know what I mean? Like, it feels, at that age, that felt so far. So I can't imagine just going, moving all the way across the country at age 18. And it takes a special individual to take that on. And so I really can't say anything bad about somebody going to Stanford or Cal or even Notre Dame or somewhere like that.
Mm-hmm.
I always wanted to ask this, and while I got you here, I want to see what your thoughts are on
sure.
it. What prevents, could Duke become a Stanford?
Oh, man, that's a good one. I think that is definitely possible because the way I see it, I mean, you look at what Cutcliffe did when he first got there and how, you know, all of a sudden it's like people were thinking, oh, wait, Duke, are they actually good this year? They're going to a bowl. You know what I mean? So I think it definitely is possible. Well, we're talking – see? See, even Emily's on it. She's like, we're talking about basketball. No.
Basketball.
So, you know, it definitely takes time. I mean, like, Wake Forest, didn't they even go to an Orange Bowl, I think, like, mid-early 2000s? So it's definitely possible, but it takes time.
Yeah, I think they struggle to create because Stanford, I know you guys, y'all feel like y'all are a cool club. You know what I mean? And so that's what you're selling these kids on. Like, you want to come be a part of this cool, smart club? You know what I'm saying? Like, where, you know. And it is. And so I don't know that Duke's done much to create that whole identity, but I always just wondered what prevented them from really, because I'm sure they have a decent commitment from the university, which I know Stanford does. You have to have it to succeed on a high level. But
yeah, I think,
fascinating stuff.
Yeah, I think it's like anything else. You know, they say like in football, sports period, you know, it's a copycat league. So I think, you know, you see one or two schools that are definitely prestigious academically that are doing well in football or whatever other sports. That definitely has to be a motivating factor for your school as well. It's like, we can do this too. There's no reason, especially in that area, with how many, you know, great players come out of the South and Southeast.
Are you on a train right now, Bubba?
Yeah, awesome. I've hopped the Oregon Express.
Oregon Express, that's awesome. Well, Bubba, go ahead.
I was gonna say, on to the playoffs. It's very exciting time. The tension hasn't quite, because I'm going out to the game, to the Rose Bowl game. Train, shut up, train. No more.
Yeah. So you're going out to the Rose Bowl.
And I know that it's hard for me to go to Georgia games, to be honest with you, because I really, really take it a lot more seriously than I should. And I invest a lot more in it emotionally than a completely powerless individual should invest in something. But to me, that's what I love about it. That's what it's healthy for me in a way, because just to invest in something that I have absolutely no control over, and it just teaches me lessons that I don't get anywhere else in life.
When I was a kid, giving myself over to the power of the game was like what got me into sports. That is the feeling. I loved it because I liked not having any control over what my emotions were going to be, what the outcome was going to be. And that's what I think makes collegiate sports so fun for people. Mm-hmm. Like pro sports is a whole nother level, but I literally picture you walking down train tracks with like one of those like sticks over your shoulder with like a bundle.
What's going on right now is kind of like 8 Mile except on the train track.
Oh, that's a better analogy. So we wanted to ask you what you thought of Alabama getting in. That was like a big point of contention for people.
I don't think there was a totally worthy number 14 this year.
Okay.
Being honest. Yeah. You were gonna have to pick somebody that any way you laid it out, they weren't on the same level as the first three teams. And I guess, you know, I can't necessarily make an argument, and this takes like regional biases and all that. I don't care about all that really, because I hate Alabama. But they were Alabama, and they were going to get in. That's just the way it was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We could.
Do you think that the playoff field should be bigger than four?
I think there's always going to be some reason to gripe. Is what I think.
Okay.
I think whether we go to 8 or 16, I think some, at least at that point, I guess what you're arguing about is the number 17 team rather than the number 5 team. But
that's a good point. Yeah.
I'm just tickled to death that we have a playoff at all, because for so long it was so frustrating.
Yeah.
Like, you remember when you're younger with the bowl system, it was just like there was really nothing that even hinted at fairness or you know, determining the champion by head-on competition or anything related to that. So I'm pretty stoked that we got four for now, and I'm pretty sure it's all about money, right? So it'll go to 8 at some point.
Always about money.
Well, this is another argument for another time that we've had, but I'm actually this year, I think, is the perfect example of why a 4-team is good for college football. And I think that we won't see any growth in the next coming years because of the buildup that 4 teams brings to the regular season. It makes regular season matchups more important. It makes people watch them.
Right.
Because they're fighting for those 4 spots. And that's valuable. So I think that's actually going to drive more revenue than the expansion for right now. So,
I mean, I totally...
That's viable.
Yeah, and I definitely see that argument, and I respect that argument.
Oh, thank you.
Not from you.
No, oh,
just
what?
I'm just kidding.
Uh-oh.
No,
this is bullshit.
Just kidding. But no, I mean, I agree that it does make it so much more important, because up until this year, there's been like at least one team in the Final Four who are undefeated, and you thought in order to get into the playoffs you had to be undefeated, and it's proven that that's not the case this year, obviously, because only one team ended up undefeated, UCF, and they didn't make it to the playoff because of their strength of schedule. So I think that a 6-8 team is beneficial because people love to see the underdogs. They love to see an upset. Yeah. And I think that's really what college football is about, is when you can see a, you know, UCF team beat
the whole March Madness thing. Yeah.
Exactly. When you see a 16 seed get into the finals.
But see, we get that in March. Like, I don't want to have it twice
a year. Not everybody watches basketball.
Well, they should.
But they don't watch that time of year.
Yeah, here's what's different about college football.
My heart couldn't take it.
Now, upsets do happen. But if you give the superior team and resources, talent, coaches, if you give them 3-4 weeks to prepare for Boise State, you know, a bowl game is different.
Yeah.
Because kids they're semi-bought into that thing. You know what I'm saying? But a playoff game where it matters, I don't know that you're going to see enough upsets for it to really be like March Madness, like basketball. I mean, that's just kind of my take on it. I could be wrong, and I'm sure statistically something you could prove that I am wrong. But
no, you're never
wrong.
Know this. You're not wrong.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What am I thinking?
Well, I think the last thing I wanted to ask you is, you're talking about being in the studio. Like, do you have anything in the works? Like, what are you doing now? What's your life like?
Bubba, let me just tell you first off that your answer here is going to either
make or break
Emily's world right now.
Yes, okay.
So I'm putting that pressure on
you. A little bit
you.
Much, but yeah. All right.
Well, I mean, probably what I am, I'm working on Bubba Sparks music, you know what I mean? But I'm also trying to think of the most proper way to say this without sounding like I'm stopping. But my passion is just, it's been a long, arduous journey with Bubba, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, and so, and it's not to say that I feel like, I'm just inspired to do some other things right now. And I always, the inspiration is what drives me. That's where I go. You know, where's the inspiration? Where can I find a place to be inspired? Because I'm not no good to anybody unless I'm inspired. You know what I'm saying? Anybody. And so to me, it's kind of, I want to find some younger artists to share some of my experience and wisdom and assets with, would they have a clean slate? And maybe see how that goes. And that's kind of what I'm doing now. But also working on, I have passion as an MC that will never, never wane. It will never go away. I will be 87 years old writing verses. Like, because it's ingrained in me. It's such a, it's not just about you hearing them and you liking them. It's therapy. It really is therapy for me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I've learned to settle a lot of chaos internally through the act and through the process of writing songs for Bubba Sparks. That makes sense.
It does.
No, that's awesome. I think everybody, if they can just follow that thing that inspires them, like you said,
the
just being
be
inspired, the world would definitely be a better place. Yeah.
Yeah, because the second I think anything is work, I suck at it and I don't care about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, if the second it registers in my mind is, wait a minute, this is work. This is labor. This is, oh no.
Does that translate into every part of your life? Friendships? You know, family, anything that feels like work, is that?
No, well, it could, but I'm saying for the most part, I'm just talking about what I get paid for.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean? It's like, I've never been a person, with the exception of Miss New Booty, that was the only time I said, I need to make some money, and I did something, and it worked and made a bunch of money. And that was the function of it, and it did it. But
when you hear that song, I got to ask you, like, if you hear that or people talk to you about it, is that like, I mean, do you look back on that? Obviously, you can't change it. It's something you went through that made you who you are, but do you ever look back and, like, do you not like hearing about it, or does it not even bother you at this point because you're just such a different person?
Oh, it comes in cycles, I guess. At times I'm at peace with it, and sometimes I can get furious out of nowhere about it. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't have a problem with the song. The song is a, okay, if you got a second, here's the deal.
Yeah.
My first album, Dark Days, Bright Nights.
Yep.
My second album, Deliverance.
Yep.
Pretty much all the music I've made since Miss New Booty, I feel like I'm pretty much the only person that's ever been born into this world that could have made that music.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the same for Miss New Booty.
That's
not. I was in a I was in financial peril at the time. I'd accumulated a lot of things at the time, and I was in some financial trouble, you know, my mom's house, you know, all this stuff. And it was like, I was friends with the Yin Yang Twins. I said, I need a hit. And basically, we went in the studio and we made a freaking hit. And I just didn't count on that being the end, because I kind of fell apart personally right around that same time. I didn't count on that being the legacy-defining conclusion of you know, the story. And that's, and that's the frustrating part, is because, and that's why I say, I told somebody the other day, I said, don't waste time singing a song that isn't, like, that song you're singing, you should be like on the band on the Titanic. You know what I mean? Like, I'm willing to go down and the ship's sinking, and we're just I'm singing this song because it's that much of an extension of who I am. And that just wasn't the case with that particular song. Even though it was cool, it's just, if I had just picked back up with some more shit that was more me right after that, then, you know.
Yeah. Well, Deliverance
I just wasn't able to do that.
Do you think that it's that way for a lot of artists, you know, when they have that song? I mean, you see it in the past, like, people like Madonna come out and say that they absolutely hate everything that they did that got them
to that spot. Or Kaylee Krish. When she talks about her former acting days and she hates all these movies she was in.
No, I don't hate them. But do you think it's like that for a lot of artists where they feel like... go ahead.
I'm sure. I'm sure it is in their heads. But I'm going to tell you what, in reality... there's only been one story like that story, like my story, because when you weigh in how I grew up and where I come from, and all of that I went through and all I sacrificed to gain the opportunities, it's, you know, and then just things that I did, it's just going to be I want it to be a movie so bad. I'm going to write a book, and at some point, I really do, because I think that...
Well, if you need help ghostwriting that, I would love to. I'm working on books of mine, but I would love to ghostwrite that with you.
It's a long way off. It's a long way off for almost to
now. I'm just putting it out there now.
Because hey, I appreciate it.
That story
you're my gunner. You're my gunner when the time comes.
I love it. Wow. But, this interview's definitely been like a long time coming, like I said early on, and we definitely appreciate you being on and taking us through your journey and your love of college football. I think
I do.
I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
Right quick, last thing from my side is Jordan, who you got? Who you got each playoff game and then in the championship?
He's asking who you
playoff
got.
Game, championships. Who you got, Jordan?
Okay, here we go. Playoff game, championships. I'm going to go. So back in the bins, we're going to have Georgia playing Clemson. And then.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then.
That's ballsy.
Well, see, the reason
Clemson's going to run Alabama.
I think so.
They're going to run them.
I think so. But then I think that just the way that not just that Georgia beat Auburn, but the way they beat them after that game that happened in the regular season, I think that they're the team to beat right now.
I think so too. I really do.
I think so.
But I was talking to I got a friend that coaches in the Big 12. And I was talking to him about this, and I said, he was telling me how, you know, Oklahoma's offense is like, I'm just telling you, they're scary. I said, man, it's just something about those SEC front sevens, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something about the way it doesn't equal the logic of, hey, we're going to block this guy this way and all that. It's just some kind of mythical thing. Because it's not just about recruiting. Because true enough, Oklahoma, all the guys on Oklahoma, in Oklahoma's front seven, Alabama or Georgia or Clemson would have taken most of those guys. They're all five stars. But it's that conditioning of what I'm accustomed to, the degree of battle, intensity of battle, speed of the game that I'm accustomed to, and it's just different. You know what I mean? I don't, you know, it's like the – but Oklahoma is no doubt something that Georgia has not seen offensively. Mm-hmm. And
as Emily would mention, Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, well.
I'm about to go see him in New York in 2 days for the Heisman. I'm going to be covering it, and I'm going to get the answers out of him about how he expects to – elude Roquan Smith,
best linebacker in the country.
Yeah, but Baker Mayfield is the best quarterback in the world. So,
he's great. I mean, he's great. And they're all great until you know Lorenzo Carter comes off that edge. And,
there you go.
But seriously, it's going to be a good game. But I just think that our ability to run the ball on them and control clock, eat up yards. I just think I don't know that they're going to have an answer for that. I think that's more when I look at that game. I just think that it'll be easier for us to control the game, the flow of the game. Mm-hmm. They're going to try to force us into a shootout. You know what I'm saying? They're going to try to get the ball up and down the field and turn it into some you know, 51-48 thing. I just don't think that's going to happen against our defense, and I don't think they're going to be able to stop, you know, our stable of running backs. And well, that's just my thoughts on it.
Yeah.
And I could be wrong, and I'm obviously a homer. But.
Well, I love it. I am so excited for these playoffs. I mean, I think it's going to be
best
a shootout. I mean, yeah, definitely really best Rose Bowl. Like,
I can pick from. I have a few I can pick from, but I think it's definitely going to be a good one for sure.
The Iowa game was
second
good,
best,
but
yeah.
You killed them, so yeah. It's not that good.
Well, then what about freshman
year? Did y'all think Ohio State should have gotten
over
Alabama?
That wasn't the Michigan State. But.
Ohio State over Alabama? What do you guys think? I'll let you answer first. Do you think Ohio State should have went in over Alabama?
No. Alabama is Alabama, man. No. Nick Saban is the godfather.
Do you think, I mean, Bubba, do you think that holds weight, having the reputation versus the wins?
I mean, I think that whatever criteria you want to use, Alabama was more deserving than Ohio State.
Yeah.
But I'll say this. Here's what I'll say about Ohio State and Urban Meyer specifically. Had they got in, I think they were more likely to just – he's just one of those guys that can get his guys to play in that one game and pull off an upset and do something crazy. You know, he just got that ability. He's a special motivator.
Yeah.
And he's definitely the number one motivator in college football.
I mean, we've seen him get on a roll before in the college football playoff.
What'd you say now?
Said we've seen them get on a roll before in the college football playoff when
yeah.
people weren't
I mean,
sure
exactly.
they were supposed to be in.
Nobody seriously thought they could win it that year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just one of those things, you know, it's like the third string quarterback's out there throwing frozen ropes, and it's just – it happened. But so with that said, none of us can come anywhere near predicting exactly what's going to happen, but it's going to be good entertainment.
It is. Mm-hmm. Definitely good entertainment. All right. Well, Bubba, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate you representing the
Sideline,
SAS squad.
Sideline SAS.
The SAS squad here. So.
Hey, well, thank y'all for having me. Emily, mm-hmm. Jordan, Kaylee. That's right.
I got yeah.
Got it.
That's a good memory.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank y'all. And I'm going to get back in here into the warmth of the studio and I'll talk to y'all soon. Thank
yeah,
y'all
we'll catch up soon. Thank you.
And go dogs.
Go dogs.
This the formula. Damn it, Bubba, you had it. Why'd you have to keep it polo and New Balance? Then they start to question whether you a true talent or just a redneck substance abuse addict. So then you hide away just to try to find your way. And now they're back to calling you 200 times a day. I want all y'all to know, good or bad, I'll remember it at 10 million sold in the name of my deliverance.